is that you know that you know God if you are sustained by the master. And we talked about the ox and the donkey, and we said that they know where they get their food from. They know their master. They know when the master is going to put the food out. They know how much food the master is going to put out. They know the master. And so if you know God, you know that he's taking care of you. If you know God, you know that he's meeting your needs. And not only do you know that, but you see him doing that on a regular basis. All right, next slide.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. My name is Sonia Hall. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Knowing God, Part 2. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Knowing God, Part 2.
That we can get to know him. Just think for a minute about people around you. And I want you to think of somebody in particular around you. Maybe two or three people around you, just in your mind. Just begin to think about this person. And, you know, think of, maybe it might be a coworker, maybe it might be somebody in your family, might be a spouse, child, whatever the case. Just think about one person. All right? And as we think about people, think about some of the things that comes to our mind about them. Let me just rattle off a few descriptions. Tender-hearted, competitive, strong-willed, opinionated, critical, a wise guy. So, you know, we give labels. Now think about the person that you are thinking about right now. Just think about what descriptive phrase, if you could put it in one descriptive phrase. And I know that, you know, we have complex people there in our lives. I understand that. But what would be the one thing that you might say to summarize how you see them? All right? You got it in your mind. All right? Now, let me ask you a question. Describe your concept of God. If you could put God into, and I know God is omniscient, and I know he's all-powerful, but if you could just put God into a descriptive term, what would you say about him? Now, some people struggle with that. And you know why they struggle? Because they don't know him. They don't know him. Now, you had no problem coming up with a descriptive phrase of that person who was around you. And why did you have no problem doing that? Because you spent time with them. Because you got to know him. And I'm here to tell you that when we get to know God, if somebody asks you to give a descriptive phrase of God that you might think of many, but however God is working in your life at that time, that's what you're going to think about. Somebody said, Pastor Glaze, can you give a descriptive phrase of God? One of the first things that would come to my mind would be gracious. You see, I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters he lifted me. Now safe am I. It was God's love and grace that lifted me. When nothing else could help, it was God's love and his grace that lifted me. How do you get to know God? You get to know God when you spend time with him. And I want to say this, that if somebody was to ask you to describe God, this should be one of those subjects that you could speak to at length. You know, it amazes me. I'm getting ready to tell on myself now, right? But one of my weaknesses, one of my kryptonites, is the Home Shopping Network. Now, you know what amazes me is that these people that are on there, the pitch people, right? They talk for a whole hour. They could get a microphone and talk a whole hour about this microphone. yeah, this microphone is from China, and it, you know, it comes and it was made by, you know, these people in China. And then if you look at it, you know, look at the detail in the ball of the mic, and look at the little grooves down in there, and it has a long, slim handle. I'm like, man, why in the world do you find all that stuff to talk about that one little item? But, you know, we should know God like that. That if somebody said, tell me about God, that we'd be like them people on the Home Shopping Network. Man, we would just run it off. And they'd have to say, okay, well, that's enough. But the problem is, saints, and this is where I'm trying to get us, that if we are in pursuit of intimacy with God, that we know God because he is a person. Secondly, you can know God because he has made himself known. God has not hid himself in a corner. God is not playing hide-go-seek with you. He's not saying, okay, you know, I'm hiding now, you come find me. But God has revealed himself to you. In your notes again, look what it says here. We can be thankful. We don't serve a mysterious God who veiled himself and cannot be known. The Bible is very clear on this matter. God can be known. We see this truth present in several verses. Jesus said to Thomas, if you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and you have seen him. John 14:7. Jesus also said, this is eternal life, that you know the only true God. And the Apostle John said that Jesus came to enlighten us so that we might know the Father. 1 John 5:20. Praise God. We can know him, that God has made himself knowable to us. And how has God made himself known to us? This is what theologians call the revelation of God. And what is the revelation of God? It's whereby God discloses himself to human beings, watch this, so that they might know him. Where has God done this at? If you'll go to the next slide. Where has God done this at? And let me get deep, let me get theological for just a second. God has revealed himself according to theology. There's the general revelation of God, and there's the special revelation of God. God has revealed himself in nature. The Bible says, the heavens declare the glory of God. That God said, you want to see me? That you want to understand me? Just look up in the sky. I've revealed myself to you in the sky. God has revealed himself in history. He has worked within the lives of civilizations and mankind. And regardless if you are atheist or not, God has revealed himself in the human conscience. The only way, and this is a deep study if you want to study this out, the only way that man can have a sense of right or wrong is that God put it in his conscience to do so. That's why generally people that steal, they know that it's wrong. The ones that steal and the ones that don't steal know that it's wrong. Well, how do they know that it's wrong? Now, even though some people know it's wrong, they still do it. But they know it's wrong. You know, that's not something that man came up with on his own. Because a man, he would never think about anything like that on his own. How did that get there? Well, according to Romans chapter 2, the Bible says that God has placed a revelation of himself within the conscience of every human being. So if you're here today, God has placed within your conscience. He has revealed himself in your conscience. And then there's a special revelation of God, where God reveals himself in miracles. He revealed himself in his Son. He revealed himself in the written word. And he revealed himself through personal experiences. Now, I just want to pick out one, because we could be all this sermon and three more talking about the revelation of God. I just want to pick out one. And I want to look at the fact that God has revealed himself in his word. That if you really want to get to know God, that God has written a description about himself in the word. And as I pick up this word, and as I read the word, God reveals himself to me. And then what happens? A result of this revelation, watch this, becomes a relationship. I read his word, and he walks with me, and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. Why? Because I'm in relationship with God. He's revealing himself to me. And as he reveals himself to me, watch this now. This is where it gets good. I get to know him. And as I get to know him, our relationship grows. Now, this is the beauty of it, because it's like a cycle, right? It's like a cycle in the fact that God reveals himself from his word. You develop a relationship with God. You get more knowledge about God. The relationship goes deeper. And then what? If you are pursuing intimacy with God, then guess what happens? You want more knowledge. You want more information. You want to know more about God. And then God reveals more about himself to you, and you get to know more, and you want more, and God reveals more, and you want more, and you just start growing, and you get into this in-depth, intense relationship with God because you have got to know him. And it's my hope and it's my desire that at the end of this series that we would have, if nothing else, have a desire to know him. Why? Because he is a person, and God has made himself known. He has made himself known to us. And we need to get to know God. Now, I want to talk about, if you'll go to the next slide, knowing God through his attributes. How can we know God through his attributes? So we ask the question. What are the attributes of God? These are the perfect character qualities that God possesses. Let me explain to you. I know I'm going deep this morning, but I'm going to help somebody. God, the Bible says, is love. All right? Now, watch this. A part of love is not a part of God, or love is not a part of God, but God is love. Every ounce of his fiber, every inch of his essence is love. There's not a part of God where love is not present. And so when I understand that about God, when I understand that he resonates with love, then I know that I have a God who I need to understand what it means that he is love, so I can tap into that and develop a relationship. As I said, this chart is available. Knowing God through his attributes. So I'm trying to tell you how to get to know God, right? God is omnipresent. Well, what does that mean? God is present everywhere. Psalm 139, verses 7 and 8. Where can I go from your spirit? And where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So what does this tell me? As I'm on this, what, pursuit of intimacy with God, this tells me that I am never far from the presence of God, that I can communicate with him any time of the day or night. There was a brother that listened to the radio ministry. He came here a couple of weeks ago, and he wanted to give a testimony. And this was a message. I must have preached this message like 15 years ago. So I don't know if he remembered it or if we re-aired something. But he remembered about me giving a testimony, how that I had a car and the gas gauge didn't work, and that I thought I had sufficient enough gas. I was doing a revival. I remember that evening, and all my family was going with me. And so we all got in the car, and I think it was John, one of the kids, got their clothes all dirty. And so my wife had to go back in and clean him up. And, you know, I couldn't wait because I had to be at this revival. So they all stayed home. And so I went, preached the revival. It was way down in Danville, Virginia, out in the country, way out in the country. And when I got finished, you know, it was about 10:30 at night, and I was coming back home. And about halfway, right in the sticks, man. I mean, right in the pitch dark of night, the car ran out of gas. And it was, and I tried to get out. I said I was going to hitchhike, and, you know, people just blew right by me. So, you know, I got back in the car. Now, you know, I was a grown man, preacher, right? But I got to admit, there was a little fear and trepidation that came to my spirit. And I remember that the one fact that comforted me that night, because I sat in the car all night until it got light. And I remember I said, Lord, I know you're with me. I know you're with me. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, Lord, because I know that you are with me. It might seem like I'm out here all by myself, but Lord, you're with me. And so what did I do? I took the knowledge that I had of God and I turned it into relationship. And just knowing that he was there and that he was present in my life. God's omniscience, what does that mean? That means that God knows everything. He says in Psalm 139, verses 1 and 2, you have searched me, Lord, you know me. Lord, you know when I sit and you know when I rise, you perceive my thoughts afar off. How do I translate that into relationship? God knows everything that happens in my life. No matter where I am or what I'm dealing with, I have the peace in knowing that God knows all about me. And so even in the middle of the night, my wife, when I didn't come home, she got concerned. And so she called the preacher's wife the next morning. She didn't know where I was at. The preacher's wife, she came looking for me because she didn't know where I was at. The preacher, he didn't know where I was at. But praise God, there was one person that knew where I was at, and that was the Heavenly Father. You see, that's relationship. That's relationship. When nobody else knows what's going on in your life, that you have a Heavenly Father who knows all about you. And you can reach out to him and say, Lord, I stretch my hands to thee. No other help I know. If thou withdraw thyself from me, whither shall I go? Why? Because he is omniscient. The third thing we see is that God is omnipotent. And that means that he is all-powerful. God is all-powerful. Jeremiah chapter 32 and verse 17. Ah, sovereign Lord, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for you. Jeremiah 37, 17. How do I translate that into relationship? There is nothing in my life that God cannot handle. He can take care of my small problems as well as my big problems. See, the thing that Goliath didn't realize when he went up against David is that God invented giants. And if God invented giants, he was bigger than the giants that he invented. And so when we have problems in our life, no matter how great or no matter how small, that we serve an omnipotent God. And I heard somebody say that God can do anything but fail. Have you tapped into the power of God? Have you tapped into this relationship with him, knowing that whatever it is that's going on in your life, that you serve a powerful God who is in control over all your circumstances, and there's nothing that comes your way that takes him by surprise? Oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. Nothing takes God by surprise. And he's aware of it, and he's ready and able to meet the needs that you have. The next thing, I'm throwing some big words at you. We're going to make you theologians this morning. Immutability. Immutability. What does that mean? That means that God does not change. Malachi 3:6. I, the Lord, do not change. He doesn't change. How do I translate that? In an ever-changing world, in an ever-changing and uncertain world, I have come to one absolute assurance. God does not change, and his promises and his purposes will never fail. You know, I love that song, Order My Steps in His Word. You know, and it says, I like that one part. This world is ever changing, but what? You are still the same. You are still the same. God never changes. You know, as I think about many of us, you know, just think back in the day. You know, I went to one of our members, just opened a health club in the Strip District, and he had his grand opening yesterday, and I went down to it. And before he had people come and speak, there was people down there working out, you know, buffing up, you know, cutting up, right? And it's like I said, that you need to, if you got the six-pack now, right? If you got the long, full head of hair now, take pictures. So that you can show folk, look, I used to have a six-pack. I used to have a head full of hair. You know, you can show folk. Why? Because I got news for you. Not only is the world ever changing, but your body is ever changing. And all that stuff is going to fade away. But thank God, in an ever-changing world, there's one thing that stays the same, and that is God. God does not change. He stays the same. Amen. Let me hit one more, then I'll have to finish this up next time. Holiness. Holiness. How do we translate that into relationship? God is pure. He is separated from sin and from evil. 1 John 1 and verse 5 says, God is light. In him is no darkness at all. And so I have to realize, if I want to draw closer to God, I should seek to live a holy life. Now, I realize I can't be perfect, so that, I'm not talking about being perfect, but I'm striving for holiness. I'm striving to live a life that lines up with the will of God. I'm striving to live a life that lines up with the word of God. That because God is holy, that he wants me to be holy. And as I think about that, as I know that about God, as I know that God is holy, then there's one thing I know that he wants for my life, that he wants me to be holy. So I want to please my Father. So I should strive to live this life that God has called me to live. So as we look at these attributes, and like I said, that's one of the good things about the pastor. He can finish the message the next time. See, when associates preach, they got to get up. See, somebody asked me, why do associates preach so long? I'm going to tell you why associates preach so long. Because they got to get it all in one Sunday, right? The pastor, he said, well, we'll turn this to a part two message, and we'll pick it up next time. So we'll see you next week, same time, same station. All right. But when we think about relationship with God, we ought to get to know these things. If today was the first day that you ever heard the word immutability, then you ought to let that be the basis of saying that I need to know more about God. I need to understand God. Not that we'll totally understand God, but we can begin to understand what he has revealed to us. As I said, God is a person, and he has made himself known. And we can know God. We can know God. We can know God, as I said, and I have the little chart, so if you want to get it in the bookstore. We can know God through his names, and we talked about how do you get to know God through his names. And now I'm talking about you can know God through his attributes. And so you can get to know God through his attributes.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Knowing God, Part 3. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Knowing God, Part 2, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Knowing God, Part 2. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Knowing God, Part 2. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.